Hello, this is John Alsop, and this is your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. First off, I wanted to talk about Duolingo.com, which is a way of learning a foreign language while essentially translating the web. So they have a system where you say, well, I'm a very much a beginner at learning Spanish, for instance, and they give you sentences that are very easy to translate, and they're within your capability, so you translate them. Other people translate them too, so you get to see if you've made any mistakes. And the sentences that you're given are tied to your ability, so if you're actually fluent, then you get the more complicated sentences. And gradually they essentially translate the internet, and that's the idea. Now, whether that's ever going to happen or not is not really the point. The point is that they've used a kind of crowdsourcing and social model to try to solve a problem that otherwise is really unsolvable. And so the interesting lesson to learn from that is, wow, there are a lot of things that we kind of live with that perhaps we could put into a crowdsourcing model. So the exercise really for today is to think about whether you have been so long limited by something to do with your business, perhaps, that you've kind of so forgotten about it really. It's just something that you live with, but perhaps it's solvable using an open source crowdsourcing kind of model, and just have a wonder about whether that's something that you could implement. Next up is a usability moan, really. I probably shouldn't, but every day I print the Guardian crossword, and it's very good. It's excellent. It's always there. It's reliable. We've been doing it for years. Me and my partner sit like Malcolm and Wise in bed, and we do this crossword before we go to sleep. And it's always been reliable, no mistakes. That's a great system, and I get it for free. How fantastic is that? That, I don't know quite how that kind of really works from a business model. We do buy the Guardian on Saturday, so there's that. So they get some money from us. But so I'm saying all that really to say that I have no real right to moan since it's free. But people moan about Facebook, so here I go. The thing that bugs me about the Guardian crossword page of late is that you go to it and before you print, there's a print version, so you need to click the link for the print version. And it's underneath the banner ad, and the whole page loads, and then the banner ad loads, and everything underneath the banner ad moves down a few lines once the ad loads. And so I get to click the print button. I hover over it and then click, and in that second there, the page moves and I end up clicking something else. It might even be the ad itself, which is all incredibly irritating. And part of the problem with that is that that's a problem that was solved right back in the very start of HTML and web coding. All that's needed is for them to say ahead of time in the code that specifies the ad how big the ad is, and then the browser will allocate that amount of code. My link won't move because the space is already allocated, and the ad will fill the space when it's ready to load. Fine. So then a survey came up, popped up. And I thought that that gave me the opportunity to tell them the problem I was experiencing so that they could fix it. The problem with that problem, just back to that, is that they may save have saved in in not bothering to specify the size of the ad in the code, in the page code, they may have saved kind of 50p of their programmer's time, and that may look like an efficiency for them. But they've got 230,000 users, and not all of them, of course, are going to the quick crossword, but, you know, let's say they've got 1,000 quick crossword users who do what I do, and they're willing to put that little saving of theirs up against the frustration of that 1,000 people. That's just plain rude. And we've talked about this is the kind of argument for usability, and I've talked about that before. So anyway, the survey came up and I wanted to click through to that, and it was quite a nice survey. It said, well, it was quite clever. It said, well, we want to know what you think, but we recognise that you haven't seen the page yet. So this is to say, we want you to take the survey, but it will only kind of go live, if you like, or give you the survey once you've finished on the Guardian page. That's quite nifty. All right, so that solves this problem about, hello, you've just arrived. We'd like to know what you think of our site. I've only just arrived, so I can't tell you. So that solves that problem. Brilliant. So then all I wanted to do really was tell them what I wanted to tell them about the print thing. So I went through that whole process, got into the research, the questionnaire. That's what it turned out to be. A list of about 24 questions, all in great detail. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? All just, you know, real incredible detail. All stuff that nobody can, you know, it's useless because nobody actually knows the answer to these questions, really. So I skipped through all of that, and just at the bottom they did have a notes thing for me to fill out. Anything I liked. So I wrote all of this. And I kind of think I'm granting them some of my time and my expertise, and, you know, that would be useful to them. What then happened was a message that says, question one is required, question two is required, question three is required, question four is required, da 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 da, to question 24 is required, a whole stream of red. So in order to give them what I think about their paper, even though they've asked me, I've got to fill out the questions about the things I don't know about in order to give them a load of wonky stats that don't mean anything before I can give them what I actually do know about and help them along. So much wrong in all of that, and I'm sorry you had to kind of listen to it all, but it's an example of poor usability, and it's an example of how usability is important in marketing. Next up, just in case you don't know, iStock is a great source of images for the web. Costs about 10p a pic, at 10p, £10 a picture maybe. So no real excuse for not having decent pictures on your website. There you go. It turns out that 66% of people don't know their conversion rate. Now, your conversion rate is the number of people who turn up to your website, the number of people who buy from your website divided by the number of people who turn up to your website times 100%. So it's, if you get 100 visitors today and one person buys something, you've got a 1% conversion rate. Something like 0.5% might be, you know, a starter point. And your conversion may not obviously be a sale. It could be an inquiry or a download or a follow or a sign up or whatever. Whatever it is you want people to do, you know, that's what you're measuring as your conversion rate. The point being, really, if you don't know what your conversion rate is, you don't know whether you're not doing anything about it. So, and really, if you want to be an improving website, if you want to evolve and get better, your conversion rate is really at the core of that. So what you're really saying without knowing your conversion rate is, I don't care. I don't care about the users. I don't care about my business. So the conversion rate is really crucial. And you can find it from analytics. You normal way to do it would be set up analytics and set up goals within analytics. So you can Google about that if you don't know how to do it, or you can ask me. Finally, there's this story about, now this I think is from Unmarketing. It's the story of a woman who went into her local coffee shop chain and tweeted, you run a cafe, about 50% of your customers are working on laptops, you have one electrical outlet, and that's what she tweeted. And the coffee shop came back, great, that's awesome, we're in the coffee business, not the office business, we have plenty of outlets to do what we need. And the customer sent back, well, maybe, oh no. And also they said, the coffee shop said, maybe you should just enjoy the cafe and take a break from your computer for a few minutes, enjoy the space you're in. The customer then said, sorry, I mentioned it. Sometimes I show people stuff on my computer over coffee. Please ignore the customer feedback. Gee whiz. And the cafe said, feedback is fine, we just have different mindsets. We need to turn our tables in order to survive, the same as any restaurant. And the customer said, I understand, but I'm disappointed that the assumption is I'm camped out if I have a computer. I was only there an hour. And the coffee shop says, I never assumed you were a camper. I'm just trying to explain the reason why we don't provide outlets at every table, that's all. And, you know, both sides have a point, but this has become an example, really, of poor service and in the Twitter age. And in order to share that with you, I found a blogger who had kind of written all of that out so that I could share it with you. And that blogger, I don't think they're a marketer particularly. Let me just have a quick look. They are. They're a freelance social media marketer. So here we have a bit of customer feedback that really was handled pretty badly by the coffee shop. The coffee shop was saying, well, actually, you know, we're going to ignore you. We're not going to do what you want. And what this social media marketer says is, what the cafe should have said is, we're really sorry we don't have enough outlets. Thanks for the tip. We're going to try and fix the situation and we'll keep you posted. Then she says, go to your IT guy to throttle your Wi-Fi so that connection speeds are just fast enough for customers to briefly check email or look something up on Google Maps, but not so fast that they can write their dissertation for the next 6 hours. So throttle the Wi-Fi speed and your problem should be mitigated if not solved. And I think that's completely, completely wrong. So my thought was, I mean, and you do get it, cafes have always done it really, that during the busy periods you have to buy food, for instance. So let's say between 12 and 2, so if you're here between 12 and 2, you have to have food. You can't just buy coffee. But surely this coffee shop is not full at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or, you know, 10:30 in the morning. So for me, it's about, okay, this customer obviously wants Wi-Fi, so great, provide Wi-Fi. That's the most important thing. Sockets, yes, they could provide more sockets. It doesn't mean a socket at every table, but they could provide more sockets. But kind of co design a solution that suits the people who want to use their laptop where they are, while they're having a coffee, that want to have meetings, in that coffee shop. So, for instance, a better solution might be, if you're not going to buy anything, we're going to charge you £5 for the table per hour, or between 12 and 2, you have to order food, or you can just an awareness that you can use the tables, and we encourage you to come and have meetings here. I mean, but do it in the afternoon or in the morning when we're not so busy. So some kind of mechanism that says, if you're not buying, then the table costs, or you have to buy between these times. That would be a much better way than throttling the Wi-Fi. Just that's awful. That's really awful, and cynical too. Twitter would have something to say about that. I'm not going to that coffee shop because because the Wi-Fi is crap. I'm going somewhere else, and that's just going to be awful reputation-wise. Okay, that's it for today, and we'll talk tomorrow. Thank you very much. Goodbye.